I'm your host, Tristan Duplashane, and you are listening to the Steal Like an Artist podcast. Have you ever felt like you just don't belong and that there's nobody around you that can relate to you or in your community with your business or whatever it is you do? You feel like people are not supportive? Well, the guest I'm bringing to you today has done the inevitable. She has built such an amazing community with so many people, and I am so excited to bring her on the show today. Her name is Jessica Whitaker. She is a photographer based out of Seattle, and she has a Facebook community of over 64,000 followers, with almost 200,000 followers on her YouTube channel. Jessica specializes in film photography. She also does one-on-one mentorships, coaching, and teaches others how to run a profitable business. I want to introduce Jessica Whitaker and thank her for being on my show. How are you doing today, Jessica?
Hey, I'm so good. I'm really, really stoked to be on your show. I'm so excited.
I appreciate that. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know a lot about you, yes. But I know other people may not.
Yeah, so my name is Jessica Whitaker. I am a photographer, a photography educator. I have a photography community called Build and Bloom, as well as my own podcast called Build and Bloom. I teach photography, both digital and film, to beginners through YouTube videos, free tutorials on social media, and then I also have my paid education, which dives more into the business side of things. And I'm really excited to just, I love to be able to chat with other female photographers in the space and female creatives. So I think this is going to be a really good episode. Thank you for having me.
Of course. It's so exciting. So what made you start photography?
So I started photography about 13 years ago, kind of middle school. And I had all my friends for the most part at my church were really into photographing things. I mean, I feel like digital cameras were starting to become more accessible to people, like at Costco. So they'd have like little point and shoots. And I couldn't afford a point and shoot of my own, but my mom had one that was like very old. And so I started to use that. And after a year and a half or so, once I saved up enough money, I bought kind of like it's not a DSLR. It's still a point and shoot, but it was a little bit larger. Like it felt a little bit more pro. And so I just continued to photograph my friends, and I saved up even more money to get the like baseline model at Costco of a Nikon DSLR. And like, I love that. And eventually I just started to have, I was photographing all my friends and they loved to model for me. And I am in Washington State, and Washington State is very, very pretty. So it was easy to get inspired. And like, it wasn't very hard for us to find locations to shoot at. And so, we shoot on each other's property and stuff like that. And then as I got a little bit older and time went on a little bit more, kind of maybe like a freshman in high school, I started having like my friends' moms book me to do their family portraits and the senior portraits eventually. And it wasn't until 2017 that I decided to do photography full time. I started teaching it because I went to design school when I was 19 in New York City for fashion design. And before that, I took 2 years at a trade school for fashion design and merchandising when I was in high school, my junior and senior year. But I was still doing photography on the side for fun, you know, with my friends and, you know, doing creative shoots, taking their senior portraits. And I did a job shadow because at trade school, we were required to job shadow in different areas of the industry. And so I job shadowed a producer at a studio in Seattle that kind of did stuff for like Eddie Bauer and local brands like that. And I was able to see behind the scenes of the photo shoots, and that there was so much more to, you know, like catalog shoots than I thought. It's not just a photographer. There's lots of different jobs in the industry. And it was a woman who was the producer. And that was really like subconsciously, like very inspiring. I didn't really I grew up with a lot of women in photography, like as my, like, I saw a lot of women in the photography industry and design. And so it wasn't until I started teaching it that I realized that that's not really the case at all. It was a very, you know, it's not the case. And so I started teaching it in 2016 on my YouTube channel, which I started the year before just to have as a creative outlet. Maybe I started in 2014, but I started as a creative outlet between design school and, or trade school and design school. And once I was like, oh, I had a friend who asked if he could come along to a photo shoot. And I was like, why? Like, what, why, you know? And he's like, I want to see how you work. And I was like, okay, like, sure, come with. And he brought a model who's now still my friend to this day. And I was like, Peter, do you mind like filming it? I feel like we could make maybe a YouTube video about it. And he's like, sure. So he filmed it on my iPhone 5 or whatever. And I put it on YouTube. And I don't even know what necessarily inspired that, because there weren't a lot of female creators on YouTube at the time. But the video, I knew how to use YouTube, because I knew how to keyword and title and how to come up with a concept, because I actually did that consulting, like literally in high school. I don't know, I'm like literally consulting agency, but for some of my friends, and all the videos that I consulted and helped them create hit over 1 million views. So my mind from a young age, no, but I knew how to make something like successful in that. I knew what to look for, how to make the photography video successful for me. And so I just continued that kind of formula, that pattern for more videos, and they kept getting more, you know, views. I had way more views back then than I do now. The algorithm changed it. I mean, it's crazy, but that was encouraging, because it's not all about numbers, but when you get that gratification so early on in the process, it really does encourage you, you know, like, okay, people actually, they want to learn from me, like literally a 12-year-old girl, like doing photography, you know. I mean, I was like 20, 21, but still, it's so encouraging, because in the space, there weren't a lot of females on YouTube, and there still aren't who teach photography. I'm one of the only women who teaches film on YouTube. So as I like started to realize this, like, okay, I've never really been interested in photography in a job sense. That's kind of why I didn't ever think about how male dominated the industry was, because I was never really a part of the industry. You know, I was doing it as a hobby. I wasn't watching really, you know, I wasn't part of Facebook groups. But as I started to realize there's this whole realm of education, and I would join Facebook groups, I realized that these groups were like male dominated, not inclusive, not diverse. It's just like, oh, it's that I just couldn't handle it. And so I'm like, would kind of joke in the groups, and I would purposely like taunt them, the guys, a bit, because they just like would get riled up when I would post a photo and like purposely write the caption in all caps, like as a troll basically. And I would post like serious, and the caption would be serious too, but it would be all in all caps. And I just knew I would do this for like entertainment, low key. I knew I would get like 10 responses from 10 people being like, why is your caption in all caps? Can you stop yelling? Like, they didn't get the joke. And I was like, okay, y'all, photography and artists are supposed to be silly. You're supposed to be creative. You're supposed to be weird. Why y'all so serious? We're not doing brain surgery. Let's get it together, you know? And so after just realizing how these groups are not inclusive, mostly run by guys, there wasn't a lot of, I mean, there's still girls in the group, right? But just like, we all know how it be. So I started my own group in 2016 called Build and Bloom, with just the simple premise of, we're going to be diverse and inclusive, and like everyone's welcome in all levels, you know, all skill levels. And it's a safe space, because these groups were not really a safe space. If you ask a question, you're like laughed at, you know what I mean? And so I started it, and it's now one of the largest, like the largest and the most engaged, because you can have like 100,000 people in your group, but it doesn't mean it's engaged, photography groups on the Facebook platform. And I would like to say that was like shocking to me, but it wasn't, because I saw the need and I filled it. And it wasn't shocking that, wow, other people want a community that is inclusive and is diverse and is a safe space. Like, it didn't really surprise me, if that makes sense, because I don't know, the industry, there's so much that needs to change, and thank God that it's starting to change this year. But I'm really, really like happy with how the community has grown and how it's stayed the same. It's always stayed the same of a safe space, no matter how big it gets. We don't really have any like, nothing really like shifts for the overall core values. And so that's so awesome because it shows that people are just craving community, but they're not just craving, you know, to show their work. They want actual help. And so we fill the need. And then we did eight workshops around the globe for free that were like, we had speakers from each local city so that there was still a point of contact once we left to encourage people. And we taught practical marketing skills and business skills, because like they all know in Build and Bloom how to like work a camera because they watch that from you on YouTube. So I'm not gonna like come to your city and be like, let's do a meetup. Like, no, that's lame. Like, no. We need to make the most use of our time and like teach you some marketing skills, you know? So then, and I didn't want to do meetups because I felt like meetups could just become really clicky. It's not all really comfortable. I have never gone to one and never will, because like, what do you do with your hands? You're like forced to like go and interact with people, and like I'm socially awkward. I was like, that sounds like a nightmare to me. So I will never subject anyone in my community to that. Like, even the way we would do the workshops was like intentional, like everything about the setup. I think that comes from my background in youth ministry. Like, I know how to like run, you know what I mean? Like, I know how youth group goes. And so I kind of can implement that into other areas of like leadership. So we would structure it where everybody just immediately comes in and like sits in their seat and they can interact with people. I would make sure to introduce myself to everyone. I would tell the speakers to introduce themselves to everyone. And then by the end, we do a big group photo. Like, we do the thing, group photo, and then people are way more comfortable and they have something now to talk about with each other, like a media. Obviously, they have already things in common. They're all here because they're photographers, but they're like, oh, I'm so excited. You know what I mean? There's more adrenaline in the room. It makes them more comfortable. You see the science behind it. So we did 8 of those. And then we opened up another sector of the nonprofit. So I got registered as a nonprofit called Sister Sister, which was a monthly networking group for young women in media. And we met in over 16 cities, even one outside of the States in South Korea one time. Like, we would have, it was really sick. And so the point of Sister Sister was so that my young women, my young girls in the industry have an even safer space. So we would talk about topics in the workplace, like practical ones. We're not going to talk about necessarily cameras in here because you already know how to use the camera, right? I'm like, how do we make the most use of this time? So we would talk about like how to deal with workplace harassment, how to stand up and speak out and like have difficult conversations in the workplace. Really practical things we would talk about that we're not taught in high school and it's hard to navigate. We would talk about, like, we had a speaker who came in and taught the women how to like properly use a credit card and like all the terms and like retirement funds and like vibe. It was just such a vibe and it's so fun. And, you know, we would have ages from like 15 to about 20 maybe, and then we'd still have some people who are like 24, 26, but mostly like 15 to 20. And that was so sick. And so they would meet up every month, have the same theme. We had so many amazing volunteers for the Sister Sister program who would help put it together. And it was just like such a fun time. And so I've always wanted the community aspect to be more important than like the branding of it, the website, the graphic design, the photo. I wanted it to all be like from a very practical perspective, community-based, valuing community first. And so, yeah, now we are, we don't do Sister Sister anymore. I would love to eventually in the later future. But yeah, I just love everything about Build and Bloom. I love everything about what I teach. I am so grateful to be able to use my voice in this way and to teach and to encourage people and educate them from a practical, non-cringy perspective. So, I mean, I think I'm not cringy, but like, you know how it is. So anyway, that's me. That's what I do. It's always a really long, winded answer. So sorry, but literally I can never have an elevator pitch. Like, sorry, it will just never happen. The elevator pitch, I'm sorry, you have to have 30 minutes to sit down. So that's that.
That's great, though. I'm so happy that you shared that. So did you ever expect your YouTube channel to go like where it did? Obviously, it sounds like you just kind of did it for fun at first and was kind of like, you know, I don't know. So tell me a little bit about the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I didn't really expect it. So, okay, when I was said at the beginning, I knew how to make the YouTube videos. I expected them to perform well because of the pattern where I would consult my friends and each video I would help them create and keyword and tag and everything would always hit over 1 million views. So I knew that if I actually, like, with the strategies I already knew about all social media plus YouTube, I knew that what I would do, the videos would perform well, but I didn't know that the whole channel itself would evolve into what it is, if that makes sense. Like, I was doing it as like, I love social media, I love the marketing aspect, let's try it for myself. I've done it for my friends, it's been successful for them in each video, let me do it myself. But I never thought it would be something that would lead to educating full time and like doing YouTube full time, if that makes sense. So the way it evolved was like really sick. I wasn't expecting it to be, I thought it would be like 4 videos and then done. But as I would realize I would have more things to talk about photography, I'm like, okay, there's not a video on how to find a second shooter for a wedding. Let me do one on that. Let me do like a video on my editing. Like, there's endless possibilities with photography. Even to this day, I'm like 4 years into it. And so, yeah, I didn't expect it to, but with the right, you know, pitching myself to companies to have them sponsor the video, so I was able to actually create, because the videos take a long time to create, and I didn't do photography full-time or social media full-time until 2017. Before that, I was working full-time and part-time and going to college. So in order for me to really be able to create the videos, I wanted to, like, if I really wanted to move this into something more full-time, I wanted to start getting sponsorships, even if it was just, like, $100 to, like, talk about a product in a vlog or something, because I already had been working in social media consulting, and I did some management for a variety of different, like, from a dog training facility to a coffee shop stand to, like, a few major people of influence or whatever. I knew that in order for me to be able to scale, if I want to scale my actual business and move away from coaching and consulting, that I had to like actually monetize it more than just the ads and stuff. So I didn't expect it to actually like evolve where I would be able to do that, but it is really cool. And it's cool, like, you know, even if how affiliate marketing has evolved over the past like 2 years, you could just put a link in your bio or in your video and have the, you know, the, like, let's say it's Skillshare. I can say like Skillshare sponsoring it, and it's just my affiliate link in the description. Whereas like before, those things didn't really exist as much, you know, it would be like reward style links or like Amazon links where it's like, here's my camera. And then you might make like $1 off of it. But with affiliate, it's cool, 'cause you can maybe make like $10 or like $40 off of the sale, like off of one sign up. So yeah, warning to you and everyone listening, I can never answer question very simply. I'm like very chatty. So hopefully that answers it.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes. I love people who talk. Like, I've noticed the podcasts that are hard for me are the ones where I can't pull a lot out of them. So this is perfect. I love it.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So tell me about currently, like right now, quarantine and everything. So I live in Mississippi, so it might be a little bit different from where you live. So tell me how quarantine's going for you and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so our state is, our Governor Jay Inslee just put us back into phase one, which I'm all about. I want to follow the governor. Like, I think coronavirus is not a joke. Quarantine is something like myself I'm taking super seriously, even though other people in the community maybe aren't. So with that being said, when Governor Inslee put us into phase three, now we're back in phase one. But a couple weeks ago when we were in phase three, I could still shoot, but I chose not to take any clients. I chose not to book anyone. I would, however, I met up with my friend Anya twice when we were in like phase two and three, whenever we were allowed to meet up with people, to photograph some lens example things, because she's like lives right next to me, and we always will meet up to just shoot. She's like my most wonderful model. And so I did meet up with her to do some lens comparison example things that I needed to do for work and for like the videos. But besides that, I thought about doing like mini sessions, and I posted it, and then I was like, eh, not worth it. We don't know how far the, you know, the, what is it called? The virus can travel in the air. Even when they said 6 feet, I was like, no, 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 this is going to be like a 30 feet thing. So yeah, for me, haven't been doing any bookings. I don't know when I will do bookings again. I have like some clients who have inquired. I'm like, I'll put you on my list to let you know. But I want to be as like safe as possible. Everyone in my family, actually 3 out of the 5 people in my family are high risk. And so it's just, no, I'm sorry. 4 out of the 6 people, I'm forgetting one person, are high risk. And so it's just like, I can't take the risk, but I'm fortunate that I am allowed to not take the risk. I understand though that so many of my friends are still having to work, and they're, you know, they're out there. So I don't want to sound like, oh, if you're at work, then you're not taking it. So that's not the case. But I think it's like, for me, I have this amazing ability to say, instead of doing a behind the scenes video this month and working with a model and an assistant and everything, instead, I'm going to choose to do a sit down review. So for me, what that's, so in just perspective of the working, sorry, I feel like that sounds like, oh, if you're not taking it seriously, if you're out there, that's not what I'm trying to say. But like, if you have the ability to stay home, stay home. That's what I'm saying. Like, with that being said, so for me, it's just been kind of thinking, how can I compensate the loss of income from shoots? How can I do that? Let's try teaching a live class. I've never taught live classes that people pay for. I've only done like pre-recorded workshops or like Facebook lives, but like very casual. Like I'm doing my face mask and we don't have a true lesson plan kind of vibe. And so I tried that and it actually worked. And I was like, ooh, this is cool. So I did it like a few times, and I just decided to like spend the time that I would, you know, out shooting or communicating with clients or whatever it might be, to pitch more companies and, you know, really perfect my email pitch and like why I'm different and like why we would be a good fit. Whereas before I wouldn't really spend the time. I would just say like, I'm a photographer, instead of saying like, I'm a Gen Z female photographer, one of the only who teaches film. Like, do you know what I mean? It's hard to articulate, and it's hard for me to also sometimes to like describe myself in writing. So those are kind of the things that I've been shifting into. And like I'm in the final phase of having my website developed. I've never done my website professionally. Like I've never had somebody do it for me, and I've never done any kind of logo. So I have them, like they designed the logo for me, and like we picked out fonts. I've always had a color palette and like a few fonts that I kind of like, I always used Arial bold italic, but that was like all, you know what I mean? And so it's cool to have the full, you know, branding package and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been doing in quarantine, and there definitely is no end in sight, at least here in America. So I'm just trying to do my part in like stay home when I am able to stay home. So yes, that is what I'm doing.
Well, that's good to hear then. So like you have to wear masks and everything, social distancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Capacity out there still. That's what.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like not everyone, I would say, that's definitely not the reality, but we should be wearing a mask and every, you know, right. I do, my family does, but I would say I can't really speak for the state of, I guess you did ask like Washington and stuff. Yeah. Washington is just like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I just wish America would take this more. I look at New Zealand and they're like, I was just on an onboarding call with one of the software companies that I work with, and they're based in New Zealand, which I thought that they were in Australia. I knew that they were down in either like Australia or New Zealand. I never really paid full attention to it, but when she's like, oh, we're in New Zealand, I was like, dang, you're living the free life. She's like, yeah. And then there's somebody else out in Copenhagen and like France, and they're like, yeah, you know, you have to wear a mask in businesses, but we're back to normal. And I'm like, oh my gosh, America's literally the joke of the world. Like literally the laughing stock.
Take it seriously. Everybody wants to just kind of push the limits there.
Yeah. They want to make it political, and it's not. It's like, let's just all do this so that we can go back to our normal life. So yeah.
I completely understand. Well, I bartend as well. So like when I'm not taking pictures, I'm usually doing that.
Yeah.
everyone fights the six people role, and it's, and people, like, because we're at half capacity, so we don't even have all the tables and chairs.
Yeah.
But people just, like, fight, and they're like, no, like, we want to move two tables together. We're like, you can't do that. Like, it's against the law.
So crazy. And I just feel so, like, bad for, obviously, essential workers, like, oh my gosh, but then, like, yeah, when you're able to go back to work in phase two, you're basically, you have to work to be able to pay your rent and stuff, and then you have these customers who just won't respect, like, the bare minimum. You're already risking your life, whether there's, like, six people there or eight people, and so for them to just be, like, so entitled, like, don't even get me started. I'm so sorry.
I totally can relate. I understand fully. So let's go back to talking about, like, your business and everything. So do you think that had you not had the online help from social media, do you think you'd be in the same place that you are now?
Well, so since my business is mostly online, I would say no. I would just be doing photography and, like, with my clients. I think my client base would be pretty much the same outside of the photographers who have booked me, but most of my clients in New York City would just book me because of, like, referrals, or they would see my Instagram. But, like, and I know Instagram counts as social media, but it's more so they'll see, like, oh, I love your photos. They don't really follow, like, my YouTube. They would have no reason to, you know? So I would say that my photography would probably, if anything, I feel like my photography, I would actually be doing even more of it, because I would just be able to focus just on that, like, my client aspect, you know? And I think I would be continuing to do, like, my consulting, and which consulting pays really well. And if you can, like, if you're good at consulting and you can, you know, come up with the strategies that will be successful for various different types of businesses and their audience, then that's great. I just never realized that I could do actually my own stuff, like, for myself, you know, full time. So I think my business, like, it would definitely look different, but I'm happy how it is, but also be happy how it was too. I just like this even more though, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm grateful to just be able to work for myself, honestly.
Yeah. So that's what I was just curious. Like, so have you ever had a point in your business where you were taking business cards out and, like, talking, you know, going to, events and stuff in your local area? Like, how did you do it before you really got it? I mean, I guess at the same time you do use internet a lot, but locally, like, I know you moved to New York, so you started fresh in a new place. Nobody, I mean, people knew you obviously, but at the same time, they didn't know you, like, where you grew up. So,
I see what you're saying. Yes. So I already had, so when I moved to New York, when I was 19, I didn't know anyone except for my youth pastors, best friend from his home in Texas named Jasmine. She was an RA at my school. She happened to be in my dorm building, so, like, three dorms. So she just happened to be in mine, and I was, like, forced to hang out with her at first, and I was so nervous. He's like, you're going to hang out with Jasmine. I was like, okay. And I was so nervous because I'm just so, I was at the time, especially, I was so introverted. Like, I would be so nervous to do any kind of, like, social stuff with people I didn't know. So I was, like, terrified because I knew I wasn't just going to be hanging out with Jasmine. I was going to be hanging out with the whole college group. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, what are they going to think of me? So, the reason why I knew that I would be with a group is because Jasmine was super involved in a church called Hillsong. And when I found that out from Pastor Vinny, and I was like, no, like, I'm not prepared. Give me 6 months to, like, get, like, socially ready for this. But the moment I met her, I was not nervous anymore. And I was like, oh my gosh, I found someone who is, like me, like, thinks like me, has the humor, is, like, silly. And for me, I promise this will come to a point, don't worry. So for me, when I was able to see somebody who my youth pastor had been encouraging me to actually be myself for so many years in youth ministry, and was like, Jessica, you need to, like, you know, get out of your shell. He wasn't, like, saying it like that, like, way more encouraging and everything. But once I met Jasmine, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I can be myself, because this is somebody that, like, I can, like, relate to, you know what I mean? Who's silly, who, like, her confidence, literally my queen, she would, like, look in the mirror and she'd still be joking, but seriously, she'd be like, I look good. Or I'd be like, Jazz, let's, like, shoot. And she'd be, like, putting together the outfits, and she'd be like, what do you think of these? And they'd be, like, the sickest glasses. And, like, I just was obsessed. And so when I saw, like, it only takes a little bit of that, like, representation of, like, female, you know what I mean? Right. It only takes that little bit. And I had grown up in a Christian, I'd grown up in a few different types of religious environments, but the most recent was a Christian environment where all the girls were super quiet, super sweet, super quiet, very calm, you know, played the guitar. And I just wasn't, I couldn't play, actually, never mind, I can play the guitar. But let's say I can't play the guitar. I wasn't like quiet. I was quiet because of my anxiety. I wasn't quiet because I was like a peaceful person. And I just could never, like, I still had friends there. I made friends. And I loved my youth group. But I just was like, oh my gosh, like, this is not, like, I just want one friend who's like really weird too, you know? And so when I met Jasmine, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody can be silly with someone who gets me. And like, she is really what kind of like fostered me into who I am, just in even just in terms of my own like self-image and like how I view myself and like my worth and stuff. And then her, everybody else though too at Hillsong in our group, because our college group at the time was at its peak, honestly, at its peak, like, oh, it was so good. And all the other girls in there were also like Jasmine. And so when I just saw, like, my eyes were open to, oh my gosh, I can be silly, I can be creative at the same time, I can be into I can do photography, and they're encouraging me to do it. But I don't have to just be one. I don't have to be I don't have to be quiet. I don't have to play the guitar. I don't have to be this one way to be a Christian. And on the flip side, I don't have to be another way to be a photographer. So I think that kind of ties into when I was in these Facebook groups and I was seeing how they were just one type of way was the coolest way to be, apparently. I'm like, no, that's not right, because that's not what I learned from Jasmine, or that's not what I learned from Pastor Vinny. So I think that's where the kind of like confidence to troll and to write in all caps in these Facebook groups came from. And so that's kind of like how I started to develop myself in New York, and like that's how I made my friends, was through school and also through church. And I'm really glad I wasn't just friends with people only at school. I'm glad that I was able to like have multiple different friend groups in the city, and I had friends from like social media that I started to like kind of connect with. And so when I moved back to New York in 2017, I would have gone back and forth to New York about 4 times. I would go like in the fall and then in the spring, and I would shoot my friends, and I would have other people inquire from me as I was posting my work on Instagram. And so I already was able to kind of, build up a client base slightly from word of mouth there and through what people saw on Instagram. So when I moved back to New York and I had a bit of a YouTube channel kind of going and established, and you know, I was like ready to do this, I was able to be like, oh, she's in New York. Like, even if I just had 6 people who followed me who were gonna book in New York, that was like still so amazing. And so that's kind of how I was able to build my client base in the city. And you know, I would just keep posting and hashtagging stuff, and I found like some of my retainer clients who I'd shoot with them once a month for like 6 months for fun projects too, not just like, okay, we need our senior photos done, which those are still fun, but like, oh yeah, my manager needs me to have my Instagram updated. And like one guy, you know, he decided to start a blog, and usually like where I'm from in Seattle, you do that on your phone. No, he hired me for like actual professional photos, which like genius, hello, like start out with the best content as you can. And like, that was so cool. And he's like still one of my favorite clients. And so it was so, so sick to see. So I don't know if that kind of answers the question about, did I start from fresh in New York? I didn't only when I was 19. I think it's definitely about not just like having a client base, but if you can plug yourself into some kind of community, whether that's a church, a activism group that you might be a part of, a nonprofit, whatever it might be, I think that's when you can start building community. Word of mouth is really powerful, and that's how you can start kind of getting traction in your area. Did I answer the question? I don't remember.
And I'll say it kind of like trickled into something else that like makes you stand out so much, and that is the fact that you're into community. Like when I started photography, I can definitely relate to the it was male dominated in my town for sure. I'm actually one of the there's tons of female photographers now, but at the time, like, it wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't as like, oh, I'm a photographer. Like back then it was like, a couple here and there, a lot of them were in their 50s, like they were older, or you'd have these guys who were like race car photographers or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like I tried to befriend a lot of them and it was just negative. And I was like, I'm never going to have photographer friends ever again. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in college, I went to photography school at it's called Antonelli Institute. They have one in Illinois, but they also have one here. And I made friends there, but then it was like, it was still kind of the same. Everybody was so mean to each other. And everybody was just like, ugh. And so I struggled with community myself. And so for me, my community is online. I feel like even here now, like it's still very like a lot of people butt heads so bad. And so one thing I love about you and your group, and one thing, you know, of course, finding you on YouTube is that you are with community and you find people that support each other that aren't negative. And that is amazing, might I add. But I just kind of wanted to add that in there, that's incredible.
That's so good to hear. That's amazing feedback, because it's like, even another big reason why we started Build in Bloom was because of that. I couldn't find photographers in my area who were my age, who like I would, you know, in like my peers who I would want to hang with, or like would want to hang out with me, or like I wanted to also build common ground with people outside of photography. So the reason, like with Build in Bloom, it's like, let's start a group for people like myself, where I don't have photographer friends really here. Now I do. But I didn't really, and I mean, I had a few and they were like great, whatever, but maybe I had like one or two, I don't remember. And I had friends who were interested in photography, but like full on like photographer, like that's the main job, everything. I have like a few, but not nearly as much as like I felt like there should be here in Seattle. And so, because it's such a photography-based thing. But also the photographers here are more, like, it's definitely, if I had to, like, categorize every, like, two main groups, I'll just say one of the biggest groups is, like, hiking, adventure, photography. Clients have tried. They've tried. You cannot pay me to go on a hike. They're like, Jessica, we want our engagement photos done at Rattlesnake Ridge. Like, please. I'm like, I'm sorry. That is never happening. I will never go up the mountain for you. I'm sorry. I don't care if this is going to be a 24-hour wedding where you will pay me $25,000. I will not helicopter me up and then take me back down on one of those conveyor belt things. I'm not hiking. And so it was hard for me to be able to find people my age where, like, if I'm going to hang out, it's not going to be a hike or, like, I don't know. So anyways, Build in Bloom created to be able to actually like have this community of people that, yeah, in your area, especially if you're in a small town, maybe you're like 4 hours outside of the main city, you can find people online, because online is better than nothing. And like, especially as we're now, that was in 2016, in 2020, hey, we're all online now, you know? And so, you know, you're able to build up that community for people who are also in the same boat. And I met my best friend Jenny through Instagram. So a little bit different than Facebook, but I'd never even thought I would. I mean, I was already like flabbergasted meeting Jasmine, but I never even thought I would meet, because Jasmine was older. She was a mentor. Somebody my age in photography, also a Christian, which is something that is just common ground. Not all my friends are Christian. That's fine. But it's like, I wanted to build also into business aspect, doing social media management. To sum it all up, it's like, for me, I think it's so important to be able to have more than just photography as common ground, to have maybe one or two other things, to have other things to talk about, other interests. And I feel like with Build in Bloom, that's it, because the interest is craving that community and having other people to cheer you on and to encourage you. And there's also other people outside of just photographers, but it establishes, you're able to establish more relationships. And whereas in person, it can be hard maybe to make friends with, I think the reason why it's sometimes hard to make friends with people in our same industry, whether it's photography, whatever, is because if the only thing we have in common with them is photography and like possibly our age, maybe our age, that's not really enough to form a strong friendship with. You need a little bit more. And that's where community comes in. That's what makes it a community and not a meetup. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Because a meetup, great. You're going to go and you're going to shoot, but meetups don't lead. You might, I mean, I'm not saying that not ever people don't meet people there that are friends, but it's like meetups don't lead to anything outside of just like, we're all here for photography, whatever. I wanted to do something a little bit more. And so I'm not saying meetups are bad. I will literally never go to one because, like, I just can't handle the pressure of it, the social anxiety of it. But that's so encouraging because, like, you're the kind of person I'm thinking of when it's like, when I created it, I want to do this for somebody who's also in the same boat. Like, hi, I'm just a girl who, like, I don't want to go on a hike, and, like, I want to have a friend who's a photographer, but, like, I don't want to have to go hiking to find that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I'm really, that's, like, so encouraging.
Yes. Well, I'm happy that I gave you that little bit, too. Just because from us talking, I mean, I already saw that aspect, but just with your passion and everything behind it, I definitely, that's something that I think a lot of the photographers strive for when they're in that group. And it's funny that you said that because I mean, there's tons of people in Build and Bloom that live in my town, and I'm like, I didn't know you were I didn't know you modeled, or, you know, so
yes, it's cool. Yes. So the larger the group gets, the more people in your town there are, whereas before it was like, how do I find them, you know what I mean? And so that is what's really sick. It's like one of the largest groups on Facebook for photography. Like, what? That means that more people are able to find each other in person. So that's also really sick, and that's really encouraging too.
Yeah, because especially being, like, for me being in the South, like, mm-hmm. that was what's that's still so hard for me is I want to do fashion photography, and that's what I like to do. So being in Mississippi, I mean, the closest thing I have that might be fashion is New Orleans, and it's completely shut down right now, of course, but I feel like I can't just, you know, I mean, I could get on a plane and go to New York or California, but it's not that.
That's not realistic, though. That's not realistic. We can't expect to be like, okay, let me move to LA because I want to do fashion. Like, sorry, you have other responsibilities. Like, that's not wisdom. So it's like, oh, wait, I think it froze. Oh, there he goes. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off at all. Sorry.
Oh, no, it was good. But yeah, no, like, I have a son, he's two. So now it's like, I can't just, like,
update. Yeah, yes.
So, I mean, it's one of those I've actually met, like, a stylist here who's really good, and I absolutely adore her, and there's clothing companies and stuff, and I can find my own models, and just because, you know, it's crazy. There's a couple that have signed with modeling agencies I was friends with. And I'm like, you don't have to be born and raised up there. And that's something I love about Build and Bloom too, is it's all over the United States. So someone could be in a town, you know, that has like 20 people and be one of the most amazing photographers, and you'd never know, except for being online, you know?
Yeah. And you can really create anywhere. You can, of course, there might be a point when you feel like you are at your max, at your limit, but most of us don't even hit our limit in our town. We just think that we should just immediately go to the next best thing. And there are so many amazing backdrops wherever in the world you're at. You just have to think about it. Okay, it might not be a rooftop, but I'm like obsessed with like weird flaky walls and like peeling paint and like old gas stations. And I'm like, oh, I love Washington because you just drive out like 40 minutes from Seattle and you're just in like the country life with this old gas station. I mean, there's so, you just have to get outside the box. And I think sometimes we just can be so focused on what everyone else is doing, what we see on Instagram, LA, the Hollywood sign, like all these, those are great. Like New York, once I get to New York, then I'll create. No, max out what you have. And if you want to stay in your town, stay in your town. Like, I don't know. There's just, you don't have to be in New York or LA to create. And I know it's easy. It was easy for me to say that in New York and have people be like, oh, easy for you to say you're actually there. But the thing is, like, I love shooting for my own creative process. For clients, I definitely love New York City because I do like how the architect, I do like it more for client stuff. I mean, I still shoot in Seattle, obviously, but for my own personal projects, if I'm doing like a behind the scenes video, I'm so much more inspired here in Washington because I just favor those more like random rural areas that you just don't have in Manhattan. So I think there's like, you can create wherever in the world you're at. You shouldn't, you're just limiting yourself. If you think once I get here or once I upgrade this or once I get this or that, or, you know, you start looking outside of yourself and start relying on your external environment, then that's where you're going to like, you're no longer in control of your career. So you have to just become, you know, realize that you can actually bloom exactly where you're planted. You're where you're supposed to be. And like, if you do want to move to LA, just make sure you're doing it in wisdom and not in haste. New York and LA are great. There are lots of opportunities, but have you taken every opportunity? Have you made the opportunities in your own area yet? That's the question. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So you have said so much and so many encouraging things today. It was amazing. But I do have one last question I want to like kind of send off with. So what advice do you have to give to people who are currently going through a tough time? I do tend to ask this on all my podcasts just because I love everybody's response. It's a great response. But what would you say to someone who's either young or even maybe in like a later part of their life and maybe COVID's completely ruined their life and they're just kind of in the dumps. Like, what would you say to them as far as like business and confidence wise?
Yeah. So I think there's so many different areas that COVID is like affecting us mentally, also like physically with not being able to work or being able to work, but you know, it's not the safest environment for you. And so I'm definitely not going to be one to be like, you guys, just, we're going to get through it. Just like use this time to be inspired, because that's so irresponsible to say. Right now, you have to give yourself grace and the understanding of everything that's happening, not just in the States or in your town or in your country, but in the whole world. And so you first have to kind of realize this, like, okay, what I'm feeling, discouraged, maybe a bit depressed, is valid. I don't have to, yes, I might have to kind of like, in some instances, push myself through it, but I need to make sure, I need to come to this realization that we are in a pandemic. We are in such a different, like, the world, we don't even know when it's going to end. Are we ever going to truly go back to normal? There's so much that's, you know, kind of clouding our vision almost. Actually, clouding our vision might not be the best word to use, but there's so much happening. And I think that you have to realize that that's totally normal to feel all of these things. And so when you can give yourself grace, I think that's the first step. However, you know, we still want to make sure that we can kind of do everything we can to aid in our own mental health. So whatever that looks like, if that looks like unplugging from social media, for me, I had to like mute everybody that I follow on Instagram who I kind of like know personally or who isn't wearing a mask, or like, I had to mute people, like even big influencers where I just get so angry because they're just like flying everywhere, thinking everything, you know, I had to like mute people because I was just getting so worked up and so angry at the entitlement and, you know, I'm just sharing. And so I, for my own mental health in that regard, had to unplug, had to unmute. But at the same time, it's like, well, if you run your business off of social media, like we can't just delete the app. Like we can't. So I found a solution, just mute people, move on, unfollowed a lot of people. But even just for my own friends, I don't necessarily want to ruin our relationship just because they're not wearing a mask. So I just felt like I just wanted to mute. And so anyways, in other areas too, you know, there were definitely days when I already struggled with depression. I have since 2015 when I first went to school, or like even before I went to college, like maybe my senior year of high school. And I would definitely find myself some days I am like super depressed because I can't see the end in sight. I don't know the next time that this will happen or that will happen, or when am I even going to be able to, there's so much. And you have to give yourself grace and realize that's normal. It's not, if you don't want to be productive right now, well, that's fine. If you don't want to recode your website, that's fine. If you want to sit and watch Netflix, do it. I have some recommendations for you. Watch The Politician. It's so good on Netflix. You know, watch, Married at First Sight. That's a good show. You know, that show is so wild. Literally, I can't. I have so many that we need to talk later about it because I have so many things to say. And so, you know, you can allow yourself to have that time off. It doesn't have to be productive, and let yourself work in spurts. Like if you have the spurt of inspiration and you just want to work for 3 days straight on whatever it is, you know, do it. But also at the same time, like if you're trying to balance working from home while also having kids around you, and there's just so much, you're at the end of the day, you're drained, you feel like you cannot work on your photography business because you might be doing it full, you know, something else full time, you only have a little bit of hours, and you typically would come home from work, you know, feed your kids, and at night you would work on your photography, but now you might be too exhausted. So like, let yourself have grace. Now I think that at the same time, there are times we can't work just off of our emotion. We have to work off of just discipline. So like if you have a deadline you need to meet with photography, you know, just find a way to accommodate your schedule, to be able to allow grace for yourself, still be able to work when on the projects that you need to get done, but don't put too many things. Don't use this time to revamp social media if you don't want to. Don't use this time to rewrite your website copy if you don't want to. You know what I mean? So give yourself the wiggle room. We're in a pandemic, and like, just overall, if you're going through a hard time in correlation to everything that's happening, just give yourself grace. I just think it's so irresponsible if I were to say, use this time to rebrand, to do this, to do that. Like, no, 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 no. Anytime I listen to a podcast and they say that, I'm just like shaking my head. Are you serious? So like, whoever's listening, listen to me. Give yourself grace. Give yourself wiggle room. Do what you need to do. Some like when you need to do it, but at the same time, acknowledge that things are different. Our emotions are, you know, just give yourself grace. Sorry, I'm not very eloquent, I guess.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica. And I would love for you to give us your social medias for people to be able to follow you.
Yes. So if you want to join the Build and Bloom Facebook group, just search Build and Bloom on Facebook. You can find us also on Instagram at Build and Bloom. You can listen to the Build and Bloom Photography Podcast. And if you want to follow me, then you can find me on Instagram at Jessica Whitaker. And all of my links are like on there. I have a YouTube channel at Jessica Whitaker. I have my other educational resources, but it's all through Instagram at Jessica Whitaker or Instagram and Facebook at Build and Bloom. And if any of you were like, wow, this resonated with me about the community stuff, I would love to have you in the community. Honestly, that's why I created it, is like literally for you to have this amazing safe space of encouraging creative. So thank you so much for having me on the show. I love whenever I get to talk to other photographers, and especially like my fellow peers who are female photographers.
I just want to thank Jessica again for being on my show. It meant so much to me. She is literally one of my favorite photographers that I have looked up to for years. And if you guys want to see other people on my show, please send me a message and I will definitely take your recommendations. I will see you guys in the next episode. This is the Still Like an Artist podcast.